Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. And my longtime colleague and friend, Joseph Sternberg, of the Wall Street Journal editorial board, based in London, he writes the political economics column. We are observing the tangle of ambitions and expectations in Europe over the vaccine, one particular case to AstraZeneca, but other vaccines are involved, and vaccine nationalism. Back here in the United States, however, we have good news, similar to what the Great Britain is celebrating now, which is an increasingly large percentage of the vulnerable population receiving the vaccine and doing so in an orderly fashion, millions per week, climbing percentages, and it's springtime. And Joseph, I want to mention that the economy is reviving. You can see it on Wall Street. You can see the bond market selling off, that is, rates are going up because of the expectations. The tech sector, which has been the only place to hide for the last year, is now giving way to the cyclicals that say the recovery is here. The price of gasoline is up across the country. People are driving. Price of a barrel of oil is over $60. Housing is booming. Well, it was until you can't find a house to buy. We're out of lumber. That's how much we've changed in the last year. Our economy is getting ready for the vaccinated to get back in the mix. Where I am now in the state of Connecticut, the governor, Ned Lamont, has opened restaurants with no restrictions on percentage of people in the restaurant, no particular restrictions on large crowds, though people are recommended to be cautious about this, but the vaccine is everywhere. So the question here, Joe, goes to that column you wrote presciently several weeks past, inflation. We couldn't find it, obviously, when we first looked for it in January and February. You found it at some point in February. Is the recovering stock market, cyclicals, is the, what you'd have to say, adjusting bond market, that is, rates are going up, is the demand on housing and the price of gasoline. Joe, it's touched $5 plus in California. $5 plus in California. Is all that the inflation that has been hiding from us, Joe?
Yes. I mean, this is the thing that is kind of weird about the discussion going on right now about inflation. The evidence of it is all around ordinary people. I mean, you see it at the pump. You see it when you're at the Home Depot trying to buy supplies for the home improvement projects. You see it when you're at the supermarket trying to feed your family. And yet we keep pretending it's not here yet. I mean, the thing is that a lot of this inflation already is here. And then particularly when you look at things like the stock market, even despite some of the recent corrections that have been going on, you can see evidence that the stock prices might be getting out ahead of their skis a little bit in terms of, investors assuming this, particularly an optimistic case for a recovery after the pandemic. And, we need to understand that this is all a result of policies coming out of Washington, policies coming out of the Federal Reserve, policies coming out of Congress and the White House, like the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill on top of all of the monetary easing that the Fed has done over the past year. And, this isn't to say that we're all going to be living in Weimar Germany and, toting around $1 bills in wheelbarrows to go buy bread anytime soon. But, we need to worry about how this kind of phenomenon is going to affect the recovery. And is it going to hinder the ability of businesses to make the kind of smart decisions that they need to make right now as they navigate their way out of the pandemic?
And do you see a recovery, disciplined recovery for the United States? We can't help Europe. I mean, they're going to help themselves. A disciplined recovery with the way the markets are responding now to the good news. good news is bad news? Or are we concerned with the dovishness that Mr. Powell expresses at the Federal Reserve, a dovishness that I believe goes on into 2022, and the policy of the Biden administration, which is the American Recovery Act stimulus of $1.9 trillion, talking about an infrastructure bill? I believe they use the word trillion, $4 trillion for the infrastructure bill. And also tax policy. Is all that in keeping with a recovery that can deal with a necessary rising inflation?
Well, I mean, what's weird about what's happening right now in Washington is that the discussion about the economy in Washington seems to be completely divorced from what is actually happening to the economy that ordinary Americans are experiencing. And so what was happening in the actual economy even before the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill is that the economy was recovering. As soon as the lockdowns were lifted, people wanted to get back to work. Businesses wanted to reopen. Everyone wanted to get back to their lives. And so you were already starting to see some good economic news even without the stimulus. And yet people in Washington become absolutely convinced that you need to spend this kind of money no matter what the long-term consequences of it might be. And I see that kind of conversation continuing where what you hear from Washington is one message. In a way, it's almost like they have to try to talk down the recovery because they need a sense of economic crisis to justify all of these policies that they want to do. Now, I think that's a very dangerous environment if you go back to this conversation we started with about inflation, because I think that there's a fundamental sense in which inflation represents a disconnect between what ought to be happening in the Main Street economy and various of the price signals that people are getting. And that's often distorted by policymakers. And I think we should make sure that we don't create that kind of distortion now.
Joe, what I'm watching also is the expectations of the American people to go back to work, to go back to the city, to go back to the office. Now, the market believes that we're going to start spending money. That's a good thing. I understand that. The consumer is going to act. But are we looking at spending so much money that we plunge into the unknown, the abyss of stagflation? That word has been used all of a sudden, Joe, all of a sudden, out of nowhere. I believe Larry Summers, who is extremely negative about his own party's leadership in pouring all this money into the pans of the American people. Good heavens, $1.9 trillion, $1,200, $1,400 checks to people who have jobs, all of that. Are we looking at a future where we're going to pay in – well, there's going to be a cost to this flood of cash and good news.
Yes, well, I mean, there's going to be some kind of cost. I mean, because among other things, this $1.9 trillion stimulus bill is going to have to be paid for somehow. And so I think the question is going to be, will that happen through tax increases, which seems to be what the Biden administration would like to do? Or is it going to be, quote unquote, paid for in some other way, perhaps, you know, via an uptick? We'll have to live with an uptick of inflation and whatever effect that is going to have on interest rates. So I think that, you know, it shouldn't be controversial, even in modern economics, that there's no such thing as a free lunch. I think that some of the policymakers and politicians who have been pretending that there was a free lunch are probably in for a bit of a surprise at some point.
And if we set aside inflation, then we can't set it aside profoundly. But if we set aside the unanswered question about inflation, what about the tax policy, Joe? I understand we could rationalize it in terms of inflation, but is it going to be helpful to tax the well-to-do, says Mr. Biden, knowing that that, of course, is going to tax everyone? Is that helpful in a recovery, or is there a risk here?
Well, it's kind of funny because, we're playing out the modern monetary theory playbook right now, aren't we? Because the theory behind that was always that you run the printing presses to finance the stimulus spending bills. And then if that creates inflation, you withdraw all of that, liquidity from the economy via tax increases, which seems to be what they're thinking about. But that is just enormously destructive to the economy if you're not careful, because, again, to further all of these policies, which you may or may not even need given the actual state of the economy, you're introducing all of these additional distortions. And I would much rather have individual entrepreneurs and businesses making decisions about where we need to spend and invest in this economy as we navigate toward a new normal. I would want the private sector doing that instead of having people in Washington figure out where all of that $1.9 trillion or more should go, and then increasing taxes on, you know, whoever, whether it's businesses, whether it's entrepreneurs, whether it's individuals, to pay for it all. I think that, you can balance the books that way, maybe, but you definitely create a lot of distortions, and it's not good for growth.
The recovery underway right now, the expectation is that we'll see profits going forward. The Biden administration, with its majorities in Congress, they're slim majorities, but they're majorities, is looking to spend money, and they have things to do with it. One is forgiveness of loans for student loans, which is a burden on the economy. Another is a redistribution model having to do with the needy. Another is equity, all of that. Joe, they have a window to get this done until 2022, and then they have to go and face the voters. My amateur reading of the economy right now is that window is open for them, and they can use it if they get past the filibuster, which is a political consideration. But spending all that money, will that show up immediately, or are we looking at something that we'll pay for in 2023, 2024, 2025, something like that? How does it work, Joe? If they spend the money now, committed to infrastructure, $4 trillion, forgiveness of student debt, equity, which means lots of new programs. When do we pay for it?
Well, you can pay for it at any time, and you don't usually get to choose, right? Which is sort of the other myth that we're operating under at the moment, because they like to think that, you know, they can finally pull all of the levers on these stimulus bills, on the printing presses that the Fed wants to run, on tax policy in order to get all of this to work out. But I think that what we have discovered, and what we've discovered just in the past couple months with what's been happening in the bond market, is that sometimes investors have ideas of their own, and you can't always predict accurately when the market is going to decide that it will not tolerate this kind of risky policymaking anymore. So I think that, I won't answer that question about when the bill starts coming due, because I'm not sure that anyone can know when it will happen until it has, and I'm quite certain that no one in Washington can know.
Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes the political economics column in London. The column is about the future. We're going to come back and talk about the present right now, a walk in the park in London, London recovering in the springtime. And what does this mean for the people as they unwind from their lockdown, as children go back to school, and at the same time as we all enjoy the weather and the questions about the virus? I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.